Blog Talk Radio.
There's a place dear to me where I'm longing to be with my friends at the old country church. There with mother we went and our Sundays were spent with my friends at the old country church.
Precious years of memory, oh what joy
they bring to me.
How I long
once more to be with my friends at the old country church. As a small country boy, how my heart beat with joy when I knelt in the old country church. And the Savior above, by His wonderful love, saved my soul in the old country church.
Precious years of memory. Oh, what joy
they bring to me.
How I long
once more to be with my friends at the old country church. My thoughts make me weep, for so many now sleep in their graves near the old country church. And sometime I may rest with the friends I love best in a grave near the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
Oh, what joy they bring to me.
How I long once more to be with
my friends at the old country church.
Well, good morning, everyone. Greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Let us go to the Father in prayer. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, once again, as we open your word, we ask the Holy Spirit to come forward to take over this service, Father, and bring to us those things that you would have us to receive this day to help us, Father, along the way to make heaven our home. Now, Jesus, be with us throughout this service. Holy Spirit, come forward to do this teaching. And Father, we want you here with us always. We ask all of this now in that sweet, precious name of Jesus. Amen. All right. I hope all of you had a good evening and a good night, and that you're refreshed this morning and ready to go. We're going to be in the 16th chapter of Deuteronomy. It's not a real long chapter, 22 verses, but it's covering three appointed feasts. Here in verse 1, it says, observe the month of Abib and keep the Passover unto the Lord thy God. For in the month of Abib, the Lord thy God brought thee forth out of Egypt by night. Now, you know, that word Abib, which means in Hebrew, fresh ears of corn. So that was around harvest time. They later named that month Nisan. N-I-S-A-N. Now, we know that it was during the harvest time. And I looked up one time about that month of Abib. And in researching it, really, what it gave me was that it would equal our month of April, which evidently somewhere I got mixed up, because April really is not harvest time. Now, of course, I guess they could be fresh ears of corn in that time of year. Corn is, should be quite tall by then, because it's planted in, most corn's planted in February. All right, but anyway, now let's get back here to verse 2. Thou shalt therefore sacrifice the Passover unto the Lord thy God of the flock and the herd in the place which the Lord shall choose to place his name there. You see, we've had the Passover there and all. So he goes on here 3 to tell us, thou shalt eat no leavened bread with it. 7 days shall thou eat unleavened bread, therewith even the bread of affliction, for thou camest forth out of the land of Egypt in haste, that thou mayest remember the day when thou camest forth out of the land of Egypt all the days of thy life. They would be remembering this all the days of their life. You see, and here in Deuteronomy, we're still dealing with these same people that were brought out. And we're still dealing with them just now getting into their lands and things. And the commandments that God is setting up for them. No. Verse 4. And there shall be no leavened bread seen with thee in all thy coast 7 days. Neither shall there anything of the flesh which thou sacrifice the first day at the evening remain all night until the morning. Now, he's talking here now about the sacrifice they've made of whatever animal that's flesh he's talking about here, which was sacrificed the first day at the evening, was not to remain all night until the morning. They was to eat it all or burn it. Now, 5. Thou mayest not sacrifice the Passover within any of thy gates which the Lord thy God giveth thee, but at the place which the Lord thy God shall choose to place his name in, there thou shalt sacrifice the Passover at the evening, at the going down of the sun, at the season that thou camest forth out of Egypt. In other words, they're to do all of this at the place where God wants them together, which would actually serve as, really as a temple or synagogue gathering, whatever, because they're all together. Don't sound like people today, does it? You're not going to get them all together. There was a time that a lot of that was done. Where I grew up, the settlement where I grew up, on church days, everyone in that settlement went to church. Even those that were not what you would call Christian, but they still went to church. And everything in the community happened at the church. Picnics, whatever. It was held at the church. We got away from that. Now, here's verse 7. And thou shalt roast and eat it in the place which the Lord thy God shall choose, and thou shalt turn in the morning and go unto thy tent. Hey, 6 days thou shalt eat unleavened bread, and on the seventh day shall be a solemn assembly of the Lord thy God. Thou shalt do no work therein. 9. 7 weeks shall thou number unto thee. Begin to number the 7 weeks from such time as thou beginnest to put the sickle to the corn. And thou shalt keep feast of weeks unto the Lord thy God with a tribute of a freewill offering of thy hand, which thou shalt give unto the Lord thy God, according as the Lord thy God has blessed thee. Now, this would be the time of harvest. We're talking about cutting the corn. Here they call it a sickle, but actually it's a corn knife. Now, 11. And thou shalt rejoice before the Lord thy God, thou and thy son and thy daughter, and thy manservant, and thy maidservant, and the Levite that is within thy gates, and the stranger, and the fatherless, and the widow, that are among you, place which the Lord thy God has chosen to place his name there. No one's to be left out. You see, they're all together in that one place for the purpose of this feast. Now, we have seen the Feast of Passover, and now we've been talking about the feast here, more or less the harvest here. Now, 12. And thou shalt remember that thou wast a bondsman in Egypt, and thou shalt observe and do these statutes. Thou shalt observe the Feast of Tabernacles. Now, we've got the Feast of Tabernacles coming up. 7 days. After that, thou hast gathered in thy corn and thy wine, and thou shalt rejoice in thy feast, thou and thy son, thy daughter, thy manservant, maidservant, and the Levite, and strangers, and the fatherless, and the widow that are within thy gates. You see, that feast also includes everyone. No one is to be missing. Now, 15. 7 days shalt thou keep a solemn feast unto the Lord thy God in the place which the Lord shall choose, because the Lord thy God shall bless thee, pardon me, in all thine increase, and in all thy works of thy hands. Therefore, thou shalt surely rejoice. 16. Three times in a year shall all thy males appear before the Lord thy God in the place which he shall choose, in the feast of unleavened bread, and in the feast of weeks, in the feast of tabernacles, and they shall not appear before the Lord empty. Every man shall give as he is able, according to the blessing of the Lord thy God, which he has given thee. You see, giving was established way, way back. And yet today, we that have really been blessed and don't have all of this to keep like they did, and yet we don't want to give. It's hard to even get those that are calling themselves Christians today. It's hard to get them to even understand that they are to give tithes to the Lord. They think, no, I can just give an offering. You know, I made $500 this week. I can give 10. No. What was your tithes? Now that $550. That 10 was just for the first 100. And one day you're going to stand before God. And you're going to find out how wrong you've been, because you've been robbing him and spending his money. Not your money, but his. Because you see, first 10% is his. Now, Judges and officers shall thou make thee in all thy gates, which the Lord thy God giveth thee, throughout thy tribes, and they shall judge the people with just judgment. Thou shalt not rest judgment. Thou shalt not respect persons, neither take a gift, for a gift does blind the eyes of the wise and pervert the words of the righteous. In other words, don't be bribed. More or less is what it's talking about there. 20. That which is altogether just shall thou follow, that thou mayest live and inherit the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not plant thee a grove of any trees near unto the altar of the Lord thy God, which thou shalt make thee. Neither shalt thou set thee up any image which the Lord thy God hateth. He's telling them everything that he wants of them. And he's leaving nothing out. They're not to set up images and things. Because you see, that's where your false gods came from. Now, 17. Here, verse 1, says, thou shalt not sacrifice unto the Lord thy God any bullock or sheep wherein is blemish, or any evil flavoredness, for that is an abomination unto the Lord thy God. You see, they can't just give any animal in a sacrifice. It has to be one without blemish of any kind. If there be found among you within any of thy gates which the Lord thy God giveth thee, man or woman that has wrought wickedness in the sight of the Lord thy God in transgressing his covenant, and has gone and served other gods and worshiped them, either the sun or moon or any of the host of heaven, which I have not commanded. And we know that back then they did have sun gods and moon gods and all of those. Now he's letting them know, Here in verse 4, and it be told thee, and thou hast heard of it, and inquired diligently, and behold, it be true, and the thing certain, that such abomination is wrought in Israel. Then shalt thou bring forth that man or that woman which have committed that wicked thing unto thy gates, even that man or that woman, and shall stone them with stones till they die. Death for idol worshiping. He's letting them know. The mouth of two witnesses or three witnesses shall he that is worthy of death be put to death, but at the mouth of one witness he shall not be put to death. It takes two or three witnesses against him for them to be put to death. Just one witness won't do it. The hands of the witnesses shall be first upon him to put him to death, and afterwards the hands of all the people. So thou shalt put the evil away from among you. If there arise a matter too hard for thee in judgment, between blood and blood, between plea and plea, and between stroke and stroke, being matter of controversy within thy gates, then shalt thou arise and get thee up into the place which the Lord thy God shall choose. And thou shalt come unto the priests, the Levites, and unto the judge that shall be in those days, and inquire, and they shall show thee the sentence of judgment. Letting them know how they're going to get that sentence. Now, and thou shalt do accordingly to the sentence, whatever that sentence is, which they of that place which the Lord shall choose shall show thee, and thou shalt observe to do according to all that they inform thee. Now, verse 11, according to the sentence of the law which they shall teach thee, and according to the judgment which they shall tell thee, thou shalt do. Thou shalt not decline from the sentence which they shall show thee, to the right hand nor to the left. In other words, you're not to refuse to do it. Or leave it undone. 12. And the man that will do presumptuously and will not hearken unto the priest that standeth to minister there before the Lord thy God, or unto the judge, even that man shall die. You want to refuse to do what the judgment said do? You die too. And thou shalt put away the evil from Israel. 13. And all the people shall hear and fear and do no more presumptuously. 14. When thou art come unto the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, and shall possess it, and shall dwell therein, and shall say, I will set a king over me, like as all the nations that are about me. Thou shalt in any wise set him king over thee, whom the Lord thy God shall choose. One from among thy brethren shall thou set king over thee. Thou mayest not set a stranger over thee, which is not thy brother. In other words, he's got to be one of them. 16. But he shall not multiply horses to himself, nor cause the people to return to Egypt, to the end that he should multiply horses, for as much as the Lord has said unto you, ye shall henceforth return no more that way. Some of them been wanting to go back. They talked about that, you know, throughout all this journey. He letting them know, no, no more. 17. Neither shall he multiply wives to himself, that his heart turn not away. Neither shall he greatly multiply to himself silver and gold. In other words, he's not to be out here just gathering everything unto himself. 18. And it shall be when he sitteth upon the throne of his kingdom, that he shall write him a copy of this law in a book out of that which is before the priests, the Levites, and it shall be with him. And he shall read therein all the days of his life, that he may learn to fear the Lord his God, to keep all the words of this law and these statutes to do them, that his heart be not lifted up above his brethren, and that he turn not aside from the commandment to the right hand or to the left, to the end that he may prolong his days in his kingdom, he and his children in the midst of Israel. We have come to the end of 17. We will stop there for the morning. You see, God has let these people know everything that he's wanting. He's let you and I know. We're holding it right here in our hand called the Bible. Most will not live by this word. Not the fullness of it. Because they want their own way. Well, I don't believe this, and I don't think this, and I don't think that. It don't matter what you think. The Word says. The Word of God is truth. The Word of God is life or death. It's death for you if you don't follow it. It's death and hell if you don't follow. And you'll end up in that lake of fire. But it's life and blessings in your life if you do follow it and keep it. You do everything that you understand, and as you go and continue on, you continue to grow and get stronger as God keeps revealing things to you. And he will. The more you are in his word, the more he will reveal to you. Because you see, this word is him. It's what he's gave us. It's his voice. It's not man. It's his. He may speak through me. And it may sound like my voice, but it's not mine. Those words are not mine. They are his. You know, the Lord Jesus tells us in the four Gospels that he only speaks what he hears from the Father. And we need to be the same way. We only speak what we hear from the Father. How do we hear from the Father? His word, for one. And then there are times he speaks to us other ways. He can speak to us by dreams. He speaks to us by visions. And he can speak to the heart. And when he does, you'll know it. So one of the main ways that he speaks to you and I is his word. As we read and study his word, the Holy Spirit reveals what he's saying, what he is meaning. Let us know. That's the way you and I grow. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, as we close your word, we thank you for your word, Father. We thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. And Father, we thank you for times that we can come together to share your word with each other and with others, Father, through the internet and all, to reach out a distance, Father, to those that will tune in and listen to your word. And we're looking for other ways, Father, all the time, so that we can even share it in greater ways, Father, and to more and more all the time. Father, always walk with us. Always be with us, Father. Never leave us. And you've told us you wouldn't. And we believe that. We stand on that and we thank you for that, Father. We praise you for it. We praise you for the Lord Jesus Christ. Because, Father, the only way that we can reach you is through him. We, Father, understand this, that it is through the Lord Jesus Christ that we can reach you. And you are the one that we need to reach and talk with. You are the one that gives us blessings. We know it comes through Jesus, that you are the giver, Father, in all things, in all ways. And Father, I pray for all of our families. We all have family members that are not living right. I pray that the Holy Spirit can speak to their hearts, Father, and help us to get them to realize that they need something a lot greater than themselves, that they need the Lord Jesus Christ in their life, and that they will turn from their evil ways, Father, and go to Him and repent. Put their trust and faith, Father, in Him, and come on to be your children and to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Father, this land we live in that has brought so much evil, you know all the evil, Father. It's brought so much evil upon its own people. I pray that they, that your churches will all come together, stand together, make their voices heard, and help to straighten our government out and bring this land to repentance. Put it back upon the foundation of which it was founded, that being your word and the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray for Israel, Father. Your word tells us to. And we do, Father. Because without Israel, without the Jewish people, Father, we'd not have this. We'd not have your word here today, Father. It's all come through them. The Lord Jesus came through them. Oh, Father, help us to realize and to understand we do owe them so much. And Father, we pray for peace, Lord. But even more than that, Father, we pray that they will all accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, as their Messiah. That one day Israel will be known as a land for Jesus. Now, Father, be with us throughout the remainder of this day. Keep us in health. Keep us safe. And, Father, bring us back together again this evening at 6 p.m. Eastern Time and back into your word. I ask this, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, everyone. Have a great day. Walk with God, He'll walk with you. Bye-bye now.